It's a tip from self-help gurus and career counselors alike. Dress the part of a successful person and you'll be perceived as one. Well, a new study may provide some advice gleaned from nature to those of us who believe we're just a makeover away from an executive job. And that advice is, don't bother. You'll just get your rump kicked. Researchers from Simon Fraser University and the University of Arizona have been looking into the social behavior of female paper wasps as it relates to their facial appearance. And I bet you didn't even know wasps had faces, did you? Anyway, there's a Dickensian gap between wasp high society and wasp lower class. And the new research indicates that the gap is actually insurmountable, no matter how fancily those bottom-tier wasps get gussied up. Dr. James Dale is a postdoctoral fellow at Simon Fraser University, co-author of the study. We reached him in Burnaby, B.C.
Dr. Dale, what were you trying to figure out exactly about these wasps?
Well, we noticed that these wasps have incredibly variable faces, and we were curious whether the facial appearances were signaling anything about the wasps.
So what did you do?
Well, we did a number of different things. First, we collected a bunch of wasps, and we analyzed them in detail, and we found that the facial patterns were related to their size, their overall body size. And specifically with wasps with kind of more broken and complicated patterns tended to be larger.
Are we talking tiger stripes on the big guys?
What we're talking about is on their face, they have kind of a yellow faceplate called a clypeus. And so it's kind of a little area that is very apparent from a wasp perspective when they're looking at each other. And on this yellow faceplate, there often appears a black dot, and this black dot varies from just a tiny pinprick to almost 40% of the faceplate being covered. And then there can be a number of spots, and the pattern can be very complicated and wavy. And what we found is that the patterns that tend to be more broken or wavy were the ones that was related to the larger wasps.
But if I don't have one of these things, if I'm a plain-faced guy, I'm in trouble.
Well, you're not in trouble. You're just more of a subordinate wasp. So one of the aspects of our study is we took some of those plain-faced, kind of wimpy guys, and we painted them so that they looked like a more dominant wasp. And it was those wasps that were in trouble. They were kind of cheating, and they were dishonest wasps, as it were, and they tended to get punished by the dominants because of that cheating.
So if I went into the men's room and I put on the makeup, the tiger stripes and so on, and I walk out, they still beat me up.
That's right. If you think about it from like a karate competition, if you are a yellow belt and you just go out and buy a black belt and go into a karate competition, you're going to get beaten up pretty badly.
What difference does it make to my life whether I'm a plain-faced or a tiger striped?
Well, dominance is a critical aspect of the lives of these wasps. And one of the most important things about dominance is it correlates strongly to how much reproduction you get. So in these wasps, you often get co-foundresses, multiple queens who cooperate together, you know, for the overall good of the colony. And if you're the alpha, you get the lion's share of reproduction. You get to lay most of the eggs in the colony. So being dominant is really critical for your own personal reproductive success. And there's all sorts of other cooperation and conflict that goes on in these wasps because they have to cooperate together to do their thing. And dominance plays an important role in settling that conflict. For example, sharing of food, division of labor, like what tasks you have to do. And also, later on in the season, dominance probably plays a really important role on whether or not you're going to become a future queen, a worker who doesn't do work but just goes off and hibernates over winter and then will emerge next spring to found new colonies herself.
I'm just trying to think what would be going through the mind of a dominant wasp when he sees a wasp coming at him with all the right stripes, but something wrong.
You mean other signals?
You're saying the scientists have fixed up this guy, but there's still something funny. What's that something funny?
Well, I guess it must be some kind of mixed signals. It's sort of like if you think about it from our perspective, if you know somebody who acts all bravado and is pompous and yet there's not so much substance to it, they often are going to suffer social costs in our sense in terms of their interactions with other people.
So you put in a docile, or rather a subordinate wasp in drag, and there's a rumble?
I guess so. I guess that's the way you can put it.
Well, what happens exactly?
Well, what we did was we took the two wasps and we put them into a jar, basically, and we watched them fight. And they exhibited all the natural behaviors that they normally do on their colonies. And these wasps had never seen each other. And so right away they would start kind of fighting and charging at each other, threatening each other, each one of them trying to claim the alpha position. And there's this particular behavior they do called a mount, where the alpha attempts to kind of climb on the head of the beta, and the beta will kind of lower her antenna and allow the alpha to do that. So before dominance is being determined, they each keep trying to mount each other, and eventually, though, one of them is going to submit, and when that happens, we can identify alpha and beta. Then what happens is, if the beta is a cheater wasp, one of these wasps that we dressed in drag, as you put it, they tended to get mounted after dominance was determined about 6 times higher than an honest wasp would have. And so what happens is an alpha who realizes that the alpha position with a cheater seems to feel compelled to have to reassert her dominance much more on that cheater than she would have under sort of normal conditions.
So is this research specific to wasps, or does this have something wider?
This research is definitely much more general than just to wasps. Animals use all sorts of different signals to reveal information about their quality. For example, if you think about a peacock's tail. And it's really important with these kinds of signals that they are kept honest somehow. And if you think about a peacock's tail, it makes sense that higher quality individuals will have the biggest tails, because tails are so huge, they take a lot of resources to grow, and so they're expensive to produce. With the kind of signal we're looking at, the little pinpricks and the splotchiness on their faces, these signals aren't particularly costly for the wasps to make. It's just a little bit of pigment, and they have a superabundance of this pigment all over the rest of their body. So we were trying to uncover what the potential cost is of this signal that keeps it a reliable signal of dominance. And this social punishment hypothesis is a really important one, and kind of being able to demonstrate it in the wasps definitely has general applicability to the honesty of signals in all sorts of different animals, including birds.
Only in British Columbia.
Yeah.
Dr. Dale, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
So long.
Dr. James Dale is an evolutionary biologist with Simon Fraser University. We reached him in Burnaby, B.C.